إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. We continue with the series on resilience. And as I mentioned on the first day, resilience consists of three things. One is to accept the harsh reality without any attempt at disguising it. The second one is simultaneously never to lose faith in your eventual success. It seems a bit paradoxical, but that's essential. And the third one is to make sense of the mess, is to make sense of what is happening. So we talked about the first one in the last 2 days, the importance of recognizing the harsh reality and also of trying to learn the lessons from it and say, why did this happen? And today I want to talk about the second part, which is never to lose hope and never to lose faith in eventual success. I want to remind myself and you that the word faith is used only when there is no other sign of, when there is no evidence to prove something. If there is evidence to prove something, then you don't have to use the word faith, then it's based on evidence. Faith is that which you have even though there is no evidence that it will succeed. Faith is what the person has when he pulls the ripcord of the parachute when he jumps, because he does not know that this particular parachute will open. But he has faith, and that's why he pulls the ripcord. He knows parachutes open, he knows various things have happened, but this one, will it open? We don't know. When do you find out? After you jump. Faith is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had throughout his life, but most importantly, when he first proclaimed, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. If you see the seerah, the time in Makkah, 13 years. 13 years is the time in Makkah which was a series of failures, one after another. There is not a single success that happened in Makkah. Everything failed. Whatever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam started, it failed. Some of the highlights we know, but you look at all of them. He was opposed, he was abused, he could not do anything about it. His Sahaba were tortured, he could not stop the torture. They were killed, he could not do anything about it. He went to Taif, and we know what happened in Taif. He came back, he wanted to get help from somebody, we know what happened to that. One after the other, failure after failure after failure after failure, for 13 years. For 13 years, not one or two. And 13 years we know now. When he was going through that, he did not know that on the 13th year this will end. No, he didn't know that. It was happening. Take Nelson Mandela, he sat in the prison on Robben Island for 27 years. We know 27 years now, but when Robben Island, when he was sitting there breaking limestone, he did not know that in 27 years I will be released. He was on Robben Island, imprisoned for life until he dies. And I can give you many examples. The single lesson out of all those examples is that despite the fact that there was no evidence pointing towards success, people who succeeded and succeeded humongously were people who continued to have this completely unreasonable faith in their success. And I'm saying unreasonable because there's no reason for that faith. There's no evidence to show that this faith is actually true. If somebody stops, and if somebody had stopped Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in that time and said, give me one evidence that you will succeed. The famous story of relating to him in Mina, going from tent to tent to tent and being repulsed and ignored in every instance, and finally in the heat of the sun he takes shelter behind by the side of a rock. How much shelter can you get by the side of a rock? But he takes some shelter just to draw some breath and get a little bit of rest. And his daughter Fatima radhiyallahu anha comes, and she is so upset seeing her father in that state. She takes some water, she washes his face. And she says, oh my father, what have they done to you? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then makes this amazingly unreasonable statement. Completely without any proof. Which is one of the signs that he was the Nabi of Allah. He makes this statement. What did he say? He said, oh my daughter, do not grieve. He says, oh my daughter, do not grieve. This religion, he said, there will come a time when there will not be any dwelling, any house, temporary or permanent, on the face of this earth, where this message would not have reached. Now imagine, that is the statement that he is making when, in that situation. What would anybody say? What is this? I mean, this time will come. When will it come? Today, when you are personally communicating this message, people don't want to listen to you. And you are saying a time will come when there will not be a single house, a single dwelling, permanent or temporary, in which this message will not reach. There's a famous anecdote about Marana Ilyas Kandavi Rahmatullah Alayh in Nizamuddin, in the masjid, when it was a little, small little masjid. He tells the people, were some jamaats were coming from different places. So he tells the people, he says, make a jamaat khana, make a room for jamaats which will come from foreign countries, and make the windows big so that they have ventilation. I mean, these are days before air conditioning and whatnot. So because, you know, they come from cold countries. So people left cold countries. Said in Mewat itself, in Haryana, they are chasing you away. No one wants to listen to you. You are talking about somebody will come from a cold country. Which cold country? Completely unreasonable faith in eventual success. There is no evidence to show that it will happen. There is no evidence to show that it will happen. I don't even know whether in the lifespan of Maran Elias, whether any jamaats actually came from foreign countries. Wallah alam. Maybe they did, but I don't know. But I'm saying that that faith which he had was not based on any evidence. There was no evidence to show that it will happen. The faith that Rasulullah ﷺ had is not based on any evidence. And so on with other people. But this is what made them resilient. This is what kept them alive. This is what kept them continued on the effort. This is what was necessary for them to wake up next morning and still go and do that. To wake up next morning and still go and do that. The unwillingness to allow circumstances to beat you down. The unwillingness to allow discouragement to come in your heart. The unwillingness to give up hope. The unwillingness to allow despair to come anywhere near you, let alone entering your heart. And this is the second most important element of resilience and success. And please notice, this goes hand in hand with what? With actually recognizing the reality. These are not people who are fooling themselves, believe me. These are not people, the examples I gave you and others which you might find out, and I ask you to go and search and find out. These are not people who fooled themselves. They're not people who said, no, 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 really, things are not as bad as they look. No, 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 no. We are in it. We are deep in it. There's nothing nice about this. But we will succeed. And what to do about that, we'll talk about that tomorrow, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to do that which is pleasing to Him and save us from that which is not pleasing to Him. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعليه وصحبه اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين.